Hello, my name is Lexi Davis. I'm a self-discovery coach, a yoga and meditation instructor, a love enthusiast, and a really playful human being. I serve people through my business, Alive to Enjoy, and this is Heart Snuggles, a holistic wellness podcast where I invite guests to drop into their heart space through authentic conversations and compassionate intentions, all in mini cuddly episodes, hoping that you connect to your truth in the most authentic version of yourself. I hope you enjoy. Welcome everyone to Heart Snuggles. We hope you're having a lovely day. I have a beautiful guest with us who's going to teach us some magic about Ayurveda. So go ahead and introduce yourself.
Thank you, Lexi. Hi, I am Christine Duraki. I am the founder of Ignited Goddess. And just a little bit of background about me. When I was growing up, I was a really thin child. I didn't have any sort of problems or anything. I could eat everything I wanted. My dad would always yell at me, you're eating too much butter. But, as I got older, I started to have some health issues. I went to college for exercise, started teaching a lot of exercise classes, running 6 to 10 miles a day. And I was pretty good for a long time. And then I started to gain weight. I started to not feel well. I got to the point I couldn't walk. They diagnosed me with rheumatoid arthritis. I went on medication for that. And then they found out actually I had Lyme disease. So I got treated for Lyme disease, went on antibiotics, IV, all that stuff. And with each one of my pregnancies, Lyme disease came back. And for most of my life, I felt pretty crappy. I didn't have energy. I was always in pain, fatigue. So at probably around when I was about 35, I decided I wanted to do something that wasn't doctor instructed. I wanted to start to listen to myself and what I needed, because I didn't think any of those things were working, at least not the way that I needed them to be. So I started to read oracle cards. And not because I wanted to, know my future, which that's kind of fun too, but it was more because I wanted to learn my own intuition, because I knew that I had it. My great grandmother, she was an intuitive. She birthed children, and I was born on the same day as her. And everybody would always say, you're just like the great grandma. She can see things. She can tell you what you need to heal. And it was mostly like spices from the kitchen. She would always go and get these spices and be like, take this if you have a bellyache and that kind of thing. I grew up in a very Italian family, so food was like a big part of it. So that was my first thing, the oracle cards. And it was like, go to yoga. So I started to practice yoga. It was so much different than the type of exercise that I ever did, And I liked it. So I stuck with it. I felt good after I was on my mat, and not just physically, but emotionally too. That mind-body connection, it's real once you experience it. So that was my first thing. And then I started to get the little tastes of Ayurveda. During the pandemic, I did a second training of Ayurveda. So now I practice it fully and completely. I love it. It's helped me so much. And I just want to be able to share it in a very accessible, easy way, because it can be very confusing and overwhelming. Mm. But there's those little things that are so helpful.
Wow. Thank you so much for sharing your journey. That's been quite the ride you've been on, and so hard to when our physical body gets ill, it takes away the quality of our life immediately. And it can be really hard to live and to have hope still and to
be your true self. So it's really empowering when you can reclaim your health and find what works for you. Oh, that makes me so happy. Before we dive more into this, we start off with the question of the podcast, which is, what was the last random act of kindness someone did for you?
Well, I just got to go on a retreat. She gave it to me for a discount, and she found me a place to stay, a complimentary place to stay, and she found a person to watch my dog for the whole weekend. I mean, it was pretty amazing. It was a huge random act of kindness that someone did for me.
Yay! That's so magical. I love that
one. I know.
I'm sure you needed that retreat. I mean, we all could use more. Yay! Oh, that's so great. Okay, so let's get into this. So I would love for you to describe the difference of like how you felt before when you were trying the Western medicine and now how you felt when you started that Eastern and started receiving that medicine.
So in some regards, I mean, I believe in both, and I believe that they both have a place. But when I was taking the antibiotics, it was so long term that it started to wreak havoc on my digestion. And I had a whole other host of problems, you know, not only the Lyme disease and the pain and everything. And it was like, okay, so you have more pain, so let's have another pain medicine. Rather than like figuring out why I have the pain, it was kind of just taking another pill to mask what was really going on. So now if I have a symptom, I kind of sit with that symptom and see what is it that I really need? What is it that I need today? It might not be what I needed yesterday. So there's a big difference in the way that I look at the symptom.
Yeah, that's huge. And that's what was so liberating for me as well, is just being like, well, you're, you know, doomed with this, or, you know, you're just gonna have to take this. I remember at one point, when I first got acne, they're like, yeah, you're gonna have to take this for the rest of your life every day, this antibiotic. And I was like, even without knowing anything about holistic medicine, like, I didn't even believe in that yet. I was like, that does not feel right. And that I don't like that option. Like, that, I don't want to have to be dependent on something. And it's so suffocating. Like, the feeling for me is just like, oh, like, low energy, just not feels good. And then when I started to explore and open my mind, being like, okay, what is all this natural medicine stuff that people talk about, this holistic healing? And then I opened the door and I was like, whoa, there's a reason that this is happening in my body, and I can actually shift that reason. And it's so empowering. That's what it is. It's like, yeah, way more empowering.
Yeah. That you have a choice, you know, that the choice is like, that's huge. And your skin is glowing now.
Thank you. Yes. And so many other things. Like, I one time had staph infection on my nose, and I went to the doctor like 3 times, gave me antibiotics, and every time it just kept coming back and coming back and coming back. And then I went to this applied kinesiologist chiropractor, and he's like, here's this, just take this tincture, just try it. And I was like, okay, like, whatever, I'll try anything at this point. And never came back. Never saw it again. And they said it would be with me for the rest of my life. Like, it would never go away. And literally one little tincture made it go away. And so it's just really magical how this can work.
Did you ever find out what was in that tincture?
I don't know, actually. Yeah. I don't remember. He had like, it was a special, I don't know. He just was like, here, right, I made this for you.
He just whipped it up. Yeah.
Yeah. Yes.
That's great.
I know. And so how do you help people transition from to try Ayurveda medicine?
I would say that it's small baby steps, because if they're huge, we're just not going to do them. You know, it's just being realistic. I mean, simple things. Instead of drinking cold water, drink warm water. Or, you know, if you're going to bed at 11 o'clock or 11:30, try to go to bed at 10 o'clock, and be soft, like when you're doing these changes, and then start to build your own routine so that it is your own routine. And then you'll be able to do it much more easily than if I say, oh, you're going on a diet. Well, a diet's very restrictive and you're not going to stick with it. So I think it's those small things that really add up to a big impactful, you know, lifestyle.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And I think that's really important because it's too hard when there's so many big changes and it gets like debilitating. You're like, oh no, I have to change my whole life. Like, and then you just
panic. It's overwhelming, right? Just thinking about it's overwhelming. I know, it's like, no, I'm not going to do it.
Yes. And so those little things, and both those things, I love what you said, because when I switched to drinking warm water, it feels so much better. But I'd love for you to explain that, because everyone's like, oh, if you drink cold water, your body works harder and you burn more calories, which isn't true. So can you talk about the benefits of warm water?
Sure. Well, in Ayurveda, they believe that everything happens first in your digestion. It's like takes over everything. So when you drink cold water, you're actually putting out your digestive fire. So when you're drinking that warm or hot water, depending on your, you know, your dosha that day and that season, you're going to want to drink that warm or hot water. And you could add an herb to it, but the hot and warm water really help keep that digestive fire going. And that's ultimately what you want. I mean, who wants a low digestive fire? Because it controls everything.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it's super important to have healthy digestive systems. And I feel like a lot of us are losing that nowadays. And so what are some of the reasons that cause, besides the cold water, for a slower digestion or imbalanced gut?
Well, eating cold and raw foods, but also, you know, the foods themselves are not that good. If you're eating processed foods and not organic, you know, all of that plays a part. Mostly it's the eating of the cold and raw foods. You know, you don't want to do that if possible, especially, you know, when we're in Vata season and we have a lot of Vata energy, that anxiety, we want to have things that are grounding and that are going to help accelerate, you know, the digestion.
Yeah, I think that's really helpful. I switched too to not eating as much raw, and I eat mostly cooked food and vegetables, and it feels so much better on my body. And you can just start to notice the differences. And I think that's the thing. It's like, why would I drink warm water? I can't do that. I love ice water. Well, just try it and see how your body feels. And I think that's just you can't know how you feel until you experience it. Like, people think they feel good or they're healthy until they actually experience what it is to really be healthy. And you won't know until you try it.
Right. And I love what you just said, because it is, it's like, try it and then notice, like, did you feel a difference? Because sometimes we just keep going and it's like a spiraling effect. We don't even stop or check in. Did I feel good from that or bad from that? And that really is the biggest thing, because every day is different. You might need something different, you know, today than you did yesterday, and tomorrow than today. And but becoming aware and really checking in.
And I also want to circle back to the sleep. So I'm a yoga teacher, and in our training we learned that like every different hour of the night is a different part of the body that I don't really know. So I would love for you to explain why we should go to bed earlier.
Sure. So there's different cycles of the times of the Vata, Pitta, Kapha. So if you wake up in the middle of the night between, say, 2 and 6, then that's the Pitta time. And sometimes that can indicate, you know, that your Pitta is off. And you want to rise before 6 o'clock, because then you're going to go into the Kapha time. And so it's a cycle, you know, Vata, Pitta, Kapha, and from 10 to 2, 2 to 6, and 6 to 10. So when you're, you know, the digestion time in the afternoon is when you want to eat your biggest meal. So, you know, that's what they say. Yeah, and I think it's real. I mean, I can tell you that when I get up at 4 o'clock, it's because I'm in my Vata time, and I have that like anxiety stuff going on.
It's so interesting, the doshas. And for those who don't know about doshas, can you kind of explain them?
Sure. So we're like this, you could think of us as like a big energy ball, right? And we have these three doshas. They're called vata, pitta, energy. It's the five elements of the earth energy, the fire, the ether, air, and space. And we're made up of those. So everybody has a little bit different, even if you're dominant in vata and I'm dominant in vata, yours is a little bit different than mine. And you know, even though we can say we are dominant in one of these doshas, I think it's much more important to learn the qualities of each one of these doshas than to almost like label ourselves, because it's really we're treating the qualities and the symptoms of each dosha. So if you think about that, we are made up of these energies. In Ayurveda, they just want balance and harmony. So if you have a lot of dryness, you want to add oil. You know, if you are cold, you want to add heat. If you are very heavy, you want to add some lightness. You know, and so each one of these, that's what these energies are. And so they're just always trying to find balance, just like in nature.
Yes. And that's, once again, it's like so comforting to know that there is a balance to whatever you're feeling and a solution to help balance that out.
Yes. And it's usually a lot simpler than we make it.
Yeah.
Hey babes, you know I'm all about holistic health, and sometimes that means fixing your physical body from within. Your gut is the center of all health, so me and my friends at Gut Personal here to support you with that. Gut Personal is all about empowerment and getting you the right answers to fix your unique gut. I love that they have a personalized quiz so you get the supplements that are meant for you. I'm obsessed with Miracle Worker Magnesium. I take it every day and I know you'll love it too. Use my code ALIVE to enjoy for 10% off at checkout and have a happy gut.
Can you give us some examples for each dosha?
Sure. So, the energy of vata, when it's balanced, it's very creative and fun and happy and lively. But if it gets out of balance, it could be a little bit spacey, erratic. It could be anxiety. And I want to make sure before I say these things, they're not necessarily good or bad. You know, they just are both. Because I feel like sometimes when we say something, people start to think, oh, that bad thing. So I just wanted to make sure I say that.
No, thank you for saying that.
Yeah, so it's not good or bad. Then pitta is that if you think of your digestion, that this is the dominance of your digestion. So it's fire. And it's the getting it done kind of dosha. It's like very precise. It's the person that can become a perfectionist. If it's out of balance, it could sometimes lead to anger, frustration, overwhelmment. And then there's kapha. Kapha is the most generous of the doshas, the most loving of the doshas. Very kind, but out of balance, they can become very greedy, lethargic, lazy, overweight.
Awesome. And so for each one, could you give us like, so you're saying how there is a way to balance it. So if you're imbalanced in each, can you just give us like a way to, I know it's different. I guess it depends on what's imbalanced probably.
Yeah. So I guess, like we could go through just a couple scenarios, maybe. Like if you think about vata and you're not sleeping, some things to balance vata would be having a routine. And that routine would be, you know, going to bed at 10 o'clock, maybe having your bedtime ritual. They call that dinacharya, and it's that you are just having a ritual that you're going to do, a routine every night, so that your body gets into that same kind of cycle. And if you think about maybe massaging your feet with some sesame oil, having a bath, whatever types of things that you like. But the biggest thing is that cycle of going to bed before the 10 o'clock, before that time that you're not going to get to sleep. It's going to be a lot harder. Then with Pitta, you know, needs to eat. So again, it needs to have an established routine. If you're finding that you are feeling angry, maybe you need to add some sweetness to your life. You know, have a little bit more of a sweet instead of that really spicy thing that Pitta's typically like. Just to like shift to that more middle ground of balance. And then with Kapha probably is not going to be wanting to exercise. So they're the ones that actually do need to exercise. So maybe joining the gym and starting a workout routine or a little bit more vigorous of a yoga routine. They're the ones that would rather just sit on the couch and watch some TV.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Great. Those are amazing. And if someone wants to figure out, well, I guess from what you just said, they can kind of figure out where they might be. But if they wanted to see what their more prominent dosha was, is there a way mm-hmm. for them to find out?
Sure. I mean, they could actually go to my website and I will send them a quiz if they'd like. Sure. You just send me your email and I'll shoot you a dosha quiz. It's fun. But like I said, you know, these things, these questions in the dosha quiz will tell you what your Prakriti is. You want to think about how you were when you were a child. Like I was saying, I was very thin and I actually intuitively knew I needed to eat butter, you know, that oil. I needed that for my Prakriti, which is Vata dominant. So when you take the quiz, make sure you think about how you were when you were younger, like 16, 17 years old, because as we become an adult and we have life experience, we get this, it's called Vikriti, which is the imbalance. And sometimes our mind thinks about, oh, what's happening right now, which is fine. But if you choose to do it each one way, whether it's when you were a child or when you were an adult, and just tell me which one you did.
Yes. Okay. Amazing. And I'd love for you to hear, for you to share, what's helped with your pain?
What helped with my pain?
Mm-hmm.
I'm a big believer in meditating. I meditate every day. And, you know, I feel like I learned that a lot of my pain was emotional, that I wasn't honoring my own truth and the things that I really wanted. It was so easy to not take care of myself. I wasn't applying any self-care. Maybe I was, you know, going to get a facial or something like that, but not real self-care, where it was taking care of myself, you know, daily and checking in and listening to what I really wanted. It was just easier to say yes and make other people happy. So once I started to meditate and really honor the things that I needed, my pain really dissipated. I think that would be the biggest thing. A lot comes to you when you meditate.
Yes. Yeah. You finally see that you're not your mind and your thoughts, and you're like, wait, whoa.
Yeah.
there's a lot here that I have control of. And I think it's so beautiful you saying that, like, you know, so many of us self-abandon our entire lives and we don't even realize that we're doing this and that we're not honoring ourselves. And when you can take that power back and give yourself what you've been needing and not like be dependent on other people for it, it's really changes everything.
Yeah. And then journaling about it, you know, writing it down and then revisiting and keep asking the question, what do I need? What do I need? What do I want? That type of thing.
Mm. Yes, I love journaling. That's so, so beautiful. And so what are some other ways that people can start to strengthen? So a lot of us know we have an intuition, and if you don't, you do.
You do, exactly. We all do, right?
We all do. So, but those of us that, know we have it and continue to not listen to it, I find that's the biggest problem, is not trusting that voice. Right. What have you done to start listening to that voice?
I think making decisions, sometimes I remember years ago, I would go to a restaurant and I couldn't even decide what I wanted off the menu. And now I have no problem. I'm like, this is it. And I just make that decision. And then you can do that with everything in your life. It's as simple as that. Decide and then trust that decision that you made, rather than doubt it. Even if, you come to find, this happened. There was something right that happened in that moment. So I think just doing that simple thing will help you trust yourself.
Yeah, I agree. I made a video about that recently. I was like, how to make decisions? Just decide.
It's like, decide. Exactly.
It seems so silly, but once you do that and then you start to learn when I choose something, my body's actually responding in like a yes or a no. And then you start to learn your body's yes or no.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's really empowering to not have to go to the restaurant and sit there for 20 minutes trying to decide and make everyone else wait. And it doesn't feel good.
It doesn't.
Yeah.
But I mean, you see it happens all the time with people. So
I think it's really getting even more common now. My friends say it all the time, I can't make decisions. I can't plan in the future. And yeah, being able to reclaim your choices and make that will help you feel so much better, especially with your body and knowing that you have the choices to change.
Mm-hmm. And I also think it's huge to, I think it's fine to talk to people about what you need, but not to really ask for advice. Try to go to yourself for advice and maybe meditate and journal about it. And then maybe if you want to ask for advice, but the more advice you get, it becomes a little bit more cloudy.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Becoming your own healer. It seems scary. You're like, no, I need the expert. I need this person. And so how did you start to do that for yourself?
I really think it was, like I said, when I first started, I started to read the Oracle cards, and I don't know, now when I have a question or something I'm trying to think about, I meditate on it and I make my decision from a very clear place. If I don't feel very grounded, I'm not going to decide. I'm not going to make a big decision. If I'm anxiety running very vata, I wait till I'm really grounded. And then I decide. I trust that the decision I'm making is the right one. And I just go from there. We're not going to always make the right decision, but that seems to really work.
Yes, I agreed. And like you said before, I don't believe in a wrong choice, because that choice, you're supposed to learn that lesson during that time, or you're supposed to go through that. So,
That's how we grow, right? We have to.
Yeah. And then you learn how to make the right choices by making the wrong ones.
Yeah. And there's always something to learn. So,
yes, definitely. But what are some of your favorite practices that you have now used in your life that are Ayurvedic?
Well, every morning I have my routine of my morning routine, and it changes, it shifts from time to time, depending what's going on or the season. But right now I'm loving dry brushing and oiling. I always use my tongue scraper. I love to give my head a head massage and go down my neck, the lymphatic drainage and the vagus nerve relaxes. I meditate and I practice yoga. And I know it sounds like a lot of things, but those first few things are pretty simple, you know, just added 15 minutes in the morning. And depending on what my day entails, how long I meditate, you know, whether it be 10 minutes or 40 minutes, that changes, but there's always at least 10 minutes of meditation. And again, depends on what my day is, how long I practice yoga, but that starts my day in the right state of mind. So it's my biggest self-care, and I feel like I'm important now. And I think those are the best things that I do for myself.
Yes.
Because then I have so much more to give, you know, we have more to give when we take care of ourselves.
Mm-hmm. It's so important. And like you said, like 15 minutes, that's not that much.
It's not. You know,
you got to create that time for yourself. And when you can give from that overflowing cup, it is really life-changing. Right. And
don't get me wrong, I'd love to take 3 hours, but most of the time I don't get to.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, the days that I do, though, it feels amazing.
I know, they're so great.
Yes. I wanted to also ask you if you have any of these health problems anymore.
So when I got the vaccine, it triggered the Lyme back in me, which was pretty devastating. But also at the same time when that happened, I also got attacked by a dog and got bit 9 times. So it was severe stress and trauma in my body. So it has taken me almost a whole year to get back to where I was. But I just was really kind to myself and did all my practices, even on the days when I was like, oh, I'm giving up. I didn't give up. But yeah, no, for now I'm okay again. But like I said, last year when I got the vaccine, it did trigger it back. And it's not that I just say that, my doctor said that too, like, because I had no BAMs, nothing, which is kind of crazy, but at least I knew what to do. And I feel thankful for that.
Yeah, that's the best part about doing this work and learning the tools, is that it's inevitable that something's going to go wrong at some point,
exactly,
no matter how small or big. Like, but when you have these, you know how to come back to that state. And especially on those days where you feel like just giving up and not wanting to do it anymore, like that's when the real breakthrough happens. So I'm really proud of you. And that sucks that you had to go through that.
Thank you. I kept just being like, I mean, it was probably when I got attacked by the dog, that was the worst thing that I think it was terrible. But I also felt so depleted and sick and in pain already. So every day I would have this mantra of like, okay, this is not going to defeat me. It's not going to defeat me. And that gave me some strength. But I am, I feel if I didn't have those practices, it would have been so easy to just get sucked in with the darkness, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's why I feel so bad that for the people that don't know, and that's why education is so important of these things, because you can feel different. You're not stuck.
You can.
You know?
You have a choice. You have to you have to keep going.
Mm-hmm. Big time. And that brings me to my last question of the podcast. If someone is going through a hard time, what would you tell them?
I would tell them that they are worth it, you know, that they are here. We're here to, you know, experience life, and all our choices, they matter, you know, so choose yourself. And there are things that you can do to feel better, but sometimes it's not clear, like it's not a crystal clear thing of one thing. So the biggest thing is that you are worth it, because we're alive, we're supposed to be here and experience love and compassion, not only for others, but for ourselves.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Oh, thank you. And if someone wants to work with you, where can they find you and what are you offering?
So you can go to ignitedgoddess.com. And if you want to just shoot me an email, I will send you the dosha quiz, complimentary dosha quiz. And if you want to have a consult or join, I do a 21-day journey with a small group of women, 8 to 10 women. There is one going to come up in June, so you could always sign up for that. Good, yeah.
Amazing. Thank you so, so much for sharing your light with us today. And I hope everyone
goes. Thank you so much for having me.
Yes. Have a great rest of your day.
Thank you, Lexi.